I see a revival. I see the fire coming. I want you to put your hands together with me as we bring to the microphone my father, my friend, Apostle Arame.
Let's give Jesus all the glory, all the praise. He's worthy. Let that sound that is in your belly find expression. We worship. We worship him. 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 Thank you, Father. Look from above and behold the utterances that rise from the heart of your people and be pleased tonight. Oh, great one, let the entire pavilion of heaven be pleased tonight. Thank you for the privilege that you have granted us to be numbered in you. Thank you for the grace that you have made available, of which we all enjoy. Thank you for your Son. Thank you for salvation. Right now we ask that you quicken your word and make it live. Cause it to precipitate upon the heart of every man. Let it bring light. Let it bring illumination. Let it bring hindsight, insight, and foresight. And grant, O God, that the hidden parts of the Spirit will become discovered by reason of that light that you will make available today. Let your name be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name. You may be seated. Turn your Bible with me to the book of... That is not the sound I'm hearing from heaven. Turn your Bible to the book of Psalms 103. Oh, come let us adore him. Oh, come let us adore him. Oh, come let us adore him. As we commence. Yesterday we were trying to establish the premise and the basis of a walk with the Holy Spirit, acquaintance with the Spirit of God. And we were able to identify that that premise must begin from the understanding of his identity as the Spirit of Truth. It is when we have understood the experiential reality that Jesus spoke about when he was identified as the Spirit of Truth. that our journey into the spirit realm, our entrance into the path of spiritual progress, becomes a reality. We live in a time where we need to know our God. A time where it must not be something that we just carry and profess, but a reality that we have seen and known. Hallelujah. Now, so we are going to proceed from that point. Psalms 103. Verse 1 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfied thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executed righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel." Now, I want to stop there for now. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah.
Amen.
Please try not to be distracted. Oh, that's wonderful. Let that door be closed. It will help us. Now, please come with me. Come with me. Just come with me. Amen. The Bible makes us to understand that God made his ways known unto the children of Israel. His ways known unto Moses, but his acts he made known unto what? The children of Israel. Now, the reason why I read this scripture is to further stress why the Holy Spirit, in relating with us, Jesus introduced him to be the Spirit of truth. Now, there are actually many approaches that the Holy Spirit can have. He's endless. He's limitless. He's unfathomable. His capacity cannot be exhausted. And so, why did Jesus reveal to us that he will function as the Spirit of truth? You see, if you do ordinary mathematics, right? If you want to understand an equation, it is required for you to hold one of the variables constant. Then you can deduce the other variable. You see, God's dealings, God is so vast. In fact, the whole of eternity is not sufficient for us to know him. There's no point at which you can say conclusively that you know God. But we know that we are in a process of knowing him. And that process, even all of eternity, is not sufficient for us to know God. Are you with me? But it is as if in that particular scripture, Jesus was trying to make us understand that in order for the Holy Spirit to become known to us, he is going to reveal to us the way he operates. See, he can operate in different ways, but Jesus had identified him with one way. The dealings of God in your life actually follow a particular pattern. If you are a wise student of the school of the Spirit, you will discover that there's a circle of the move of God around your life. If you have not yet been able to trace the pattern of God's move around your life, it means you are very lazy and you are not conscious of the God you seek. You are not conscious of the God you are serving. It is not as if God cannot operate in a thousand ways in your life, but he restricts his operations to a particular cycle so that you can know him. Are you with me? eliminates his oppression. He comes in a particular way so that you know, okay, this is how he came the last time. So that you can draw understanding from the last encounter you had with him. He keeps that pace and sustains it so that you can know him. All right? It's not as if he doesn't have variety enough to keep you confused all the days of your life. But he restricts himself. So Jesus was saying that the Holy Spirit has restricted himself. This is how his ministry can be realized in your life. He comes to you as the Spirit of truth. Now, we were able to establish yesterday that in his capacity and office as the Spirit of truth, what he does is that he furnishes spiritual realities upon our hearts so that we can have experiential knowledge of the things that the Word of God speaks about. Now, see, sometimes words are lacking. Hallelujah. Now, if Jesus takes you into the realm of the Spirit, for instance, and he shows you a particular thing, the only way you can know that thing, is that he makes you that thing. So you now experience that thing. When you experience it, then you have received the knowing of that. And that's how it is. God wants to bring you to understand healing. He brings you into the experience of it. And then you know it from the experiential standpoint, not from the theoretical standpoint. Now, the theoretical standpoint cannot bring deliverance to you. It is when you know it from the experiential standpoint. And if you have known it that way, when you experience it, when it comes and you touch it, you make contact with it, you will know it by that experiential knowledge. Now, so he comes to furnish those realities so that he can give you an experiential knowledge of the things that the Bible speaks about. And so if you read your Bible, who healed thy diseases, and you are trying to mentally assent that scripture, to you, healing is just a word. To you, healing is the kind of stuff that doctors do in the hospital. So your scope of the understanding of the word healing is limited because you have not had the experiential dimension. He doesn't even want you to know about the carnal dimension of that reality. He just takes you into the experience of it in the realm and furnishes that dimension upon your heart so that you receive a knowing that comes by experience. Now, there's a difference here. He said that his acts he made known unto the children of Israel, but his what? Ways he made known unto. Those are two different experiences. For the past few years in the body of Christ, over and above 20 years, what people come to do is to see people that understand the ways of God manifest his acts. And so many people come to celebrate the acts of God when they are in display, when they are in manifestation. People come to see people get healed, cripples walk, the dead come back to life. But you see, God has a better deal for us. There is a burden that is upon us because our God, by his Spirit, has decided to tabernacle in us. Now, you see, that's a different experience. Because when Jesus was in this world, when he walked this world, if prayer was as easy as walking up to Jesus and say, who sinned that this man was born blind? Is that not easy? Somebody just walks up to Jesus and say, why was he born blind? That's prayer. He's conducting an inquiry. It is because of that level of accessibility that Jesus said that these guys don't need to fast. Because do you need to fast and pray to walk up to somebody and say, who sinned that this man was born blind? Hallelujah. It was a different template because he was physically present. But Jesus said that a time will come when I will be taken away. In that day, they will have to fast. What does he mean by that? The regime has changed. And right now, the God that they spoke to physically is now tabernacling their hearts as the Spirit of truth. Now, the difference between this era and what was obtainable is that
the communication modality has changed. If Jesus wants to teach you, he will bring you. In fact, sometimes in order for Jesus to teach, he has to take his entire apostolic team and stroll down to a place that has physical things that are related to the spiritual thing he wants to speak about. It was a body. Before he spoke about the church, about the spiritual building that God was erecting, he took them to Caesarea. He took them from east to west before he could say that. Because in Caesarea at that time, there was construction work, there was a facelift. The governor of that particular province was renovating the entire region. So if you come into Caesarea, you will see building materials, see iron rods, you will see paint buckets, and you will see all kinds of cement bags. It was in that atmosphere that pointed to building that he began to download the revelation of the spiritual building that God wanted to construct, so that the environment will illustrate what he was talking about. What he was talking about was purely spiritual, but he needed an environment that lended itself to that which he was about to reveal before his people. Jesus wanted to speak about a well, how the well of salvation is. You know, the Bible says, with joy you shall draw water out of what? The wells of salvation. So he wanted to speak about the relationship between the Spirit of God and the Spirit of man in the event of regeneration. And he had to go in John chapter 4 and sit upon a well. He sat upon a well. And then asked the woman to give him water to drink. What he came there to do was to dig a well in the woman. But the woman did not understand. The woman was seeing a physical well. Now he needs to go into the environment of the things he wants to say in order for that environment to lend the hearer the needed clues that will grant understanding. That was the burden that Jesus had when he was doing his earthly ministry. But he said that the regime has changed. Right now, I don't need to go to a well to tell you about a well. I don't need to go to a city that's under construction to speak about the church, which is the spiritual building that God is putting together. My communication modality is changed because a new regime has come. And if you don't understand this regime, your relationship with God will not advance. You see, the entrance into strong spiritual walk with God comes when you have understood the Spirit of truth and why Jesus gave him that designation and that description. If you are still with me, say amen.
Amen.
We are going far today. Hallelujah. Amen. So there are two options. It's either you know the ways that is external, or you know the acts. You see, the spiritual realm and the natural, they are related, but they are not the same. Let me give you an example. Peter's explanation of what happened on the day of Pentecost, when they began to speak in tongues in the upper room, if you check it, the core of his explanation is in the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 31 to 34. He spoke about politics, about the way God deals with them, about the political setting, spoke about the religious setting, spoke about prophecy, spoke about history, spoke about their fathers, spoke about covenants, spoke about heritage. So many things he spoke about. But when he was bringing the explanation of what had happened, he's captured between that range of scripture. What did he say in that range of scripture? What he said was that this Jesus that you crucified, right now in heaven he has been exalted. Now, so he's trying to explain an earthly event from a heavenly reality. Are you with me? He's explaining what? How is he explaining it? From where? He said, right now in heaven, a coronation service has been conducted. Jesus has been given the highest honor that is attainable in God's kingdom. You know, in Nigeria, we have all kinds of national honors. We have
Grand Commander of the Order of the Night. We have Grand Commander of the Federal Republic. I think that's the highest. GCFR. All right? So when the Bible says that Jesus Christ is, has been received into heaven and now he's sitting at the right hand of God, the right hand of God there is not geography, not this side. That right hand of God is actually a designation. The designation of the highest honors attainable in the kingdom of God. Now, you see, if you go back into the medieval times, the days where kingdoms were ruled by a king, all right, and you read history, you understand what it means when they say the designation, my right hand, is actually an office in the kingdom. It's a designation in the kingdom, which means someone that acts on my behalf. So Jesus got that honor in the kingdom of God when he was received into heaven and he occupied the office of the administrator of the purposes and the plans of God. He sat on the seat of the administrator. That's why the Father will never do anything except he does it through the Son. And you cannot get to the Father except you pass through. That's an office. He actually, even though it was prophetic that Jesus was the Christ, it was in that, on that day of Pentecost, that he sat upon the throne, the seat, the office of the Christ, and began to administer God's purposes and programs. Because prior to his assuming that seat, it was God's intention for us to be born again, but we could not be born again. The purposes of God were stagnated because that seat was unoccupied. Are you with me? Oh my, I'm trying real hard so that you understand what I'm talking about. If you don't know how heaven operates, your spiritual life can advance. All you have is tongues. You don't understand the dynamics. You don't understand what is being administered by what you are doing. Hallelujah. His explanation was that the throne of the divine administrator has been occupied. So the purposes of God that were thwarted in Adam have been fully recaptured, and he can advance from this point because that throne has been occupied. Now, if you read your Bible critically, you see, the Bible is not distorted, it's joint. That was the same throne that Lucifer wanted to ascend to in the book of Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 to 14. I want to stop there. I don't want to go too far. Alright? But you see, Lucifer wanted to ascend to the throne and it was not given unto him. That's why he could not fulfill it. Jesus considered it not robbery to be equal with God. He left it. And that was why he qualified to ascend. You understand that? I'm talking to people that are in class 4. Those ones can hear me. No spiritual thing happens on earth until it's already furnished in heaven. That's why I said that the heavens and the earth, they are related, but they are not the same. Are you with me? And as you can be an excellent man, but if you don't have a way of having representation in the spirit realm, you are not exactly God's idea of a man. That's why God's perspective of a man as intended through creation was fulfilled the first time when Jesus came to the water side of John the Baptist's baptismal service. Let us make man in our own image. That dream was fulfilled. That was the first day it was fulfilled. That was why heaven had to attest. This is the idea. This is my concept of a man. You understand it? That's how all true men were designed to be. Men that have the capacity and the ability to open the heavens and to touch the spirit that comes from there. Are you with me? So the Old Testament ministry of prophets was deficient, because when the spirit comes upon them, in fact, when prophets prophesied those times, they like their human faculties were kept in bondage.
could not interfere with what God was doing. So they uttered things that even them themselves did not know. But the reason was because the spirit of truth was not at work with them. It was the spirit of power that worked upon them, that subdued them and carried out a function through their faculties. Jesus spoke about something very radical when he introduced the ministry of the spirit of truth. So in the natural realm, what happened on the day of Pentecost was that there was an outpouring, an energy, a power. The wrath of God had left Zion and come into the earth. Peter was trying to give us explanation of what happened. He said, right now, there is a personality in the heavens that has ascended a throne. Now, let's do some equation. Are you still with me? The equation is this. What is the relationship between a throne in heaven and an outpouring on earth? Oh, you are not here. Or you want us to go into... You think I'm quoting out of scripture. You want us to check it to see whether I'm on scripture. That was the explanation he gave. That... Oh, my. He said, let all the house of Israel know that this Jesus that you crucified, God, that is in heaven now, has made him both Lord. He has been designated Lord and Christ. Even though he was prophetically identified to have the destiny of being the Christ, that was the day he became the Christ. That was the day he started functioning in the office of the Christ. All right? That statement he made, no one cometh unto the Father but by me. That is when that statement came into effect. And if you must touch God, his office must furnish the reality. If God must touch you, it must be because he has paid the price for God to touch you. He becomes the bridge and the mediator between God and man. But that was the event that took place in heaven that gave birth to the outpouring on earth. Now, so the shape the thing has on earth doesn't look like what takes place in heaven. You are not. In heaven is a throne. On earth is a power. And that power is actually the evidence that that throne has been erected. Are you with me? Ah, mama, you are not here. I don't want to open too many scriptures. If I open it, I'll start teaching and then waste time. In fact, I don't even need to explain to everybody. It may not be everybody I came to preach to. I'm just showing you something. I'm trying very hard to show you. Are you here now? So he said that Moses knew his acts, his dynamics, his dimensions, but the children of Israel knew his ways. Now the children of Israel were actually touching what God was doing second hand, just like the Bible said that the laws and the prophets were until John. Now in the Old Testament, the only thing wrong with the Old Testament style of God's operation is that it's second hand. If you ever encountered God, you read a book or you heard the word of the Lord through a man, second hand. A prophet either prophesies to you or you read the law. Okay, if you ask a question that is captured within the law, then the law is read out to you. So you touch God through what? A book. Are you with me? Or if the things that you want to travel to Lagos, then you now come, it's not captured within what is written. So the prophet now goes, seeks the face of God. So you shall not go to Lagos. So you see, you don't have the possibility of knowing God because you are always touching God second hand. Did you get that? But you see, there's a difference between that and what Jesus was offering us when he said that the spirit of truth was going to come. He said, when the spirit of truth comes, then he will guide you. So it will bring you to a first-hand experience. I hope you know that when it becomes first-hand, then the responsibility of seeking God out becomes yours. Are you following? Now, when the pastor preaches the gospel, preaches from the pulpit, as he's preaching, okay? He's stirring something, based on the gradient of spirit deposit in his own heart. As he begins to talk, then a stirring takes place. That stirring activates the move of God in your own spirit. So that through what he's saying, there's an activity that has been set in motion, and the Holy Ghost can now minister to you personally. You get it? That was not possible in the days of the law, because the Spirit of God was not dwelling in people. So even now, we still need a pastor to preach to us. But when he does so, he's activating a reality that will make God convict you personally, talk to you personally, touch you personally. So in this covenant, we are dealing with the kingdom when it is personal. Now, so God wanted to make our touch with God personal, wanted to make it user-friendly, wanted to make God user-friendly. That is why the Spirit of Truth now came. So that we can understand what Moses understood when he knew the acts of God. You understand that? That is deeper than just seeing the ways. When he knew the ways of God, that's deeper than just seeing the acts of God on display. Now, that regime that has come into force is to enable every one of us in the least to be like David. The least among us in this regime should be the best that there was in the Old Testament. Because every one of us, Moses was the best in his time. David was the best in his time. Samuel was the best in his time. Because there were only few ones that were given the privilege to see the movements of God enough to understand and discern the pattern. So Samuel can come in dry season. He knows the kind of sacrifice to offer that will bring rain in dry season. Moses can come with a rod. He knows where to strike for a river to part. And it's not a spiritual river, it's what? Now, my question is this: does God want to do less today? Is it that the power of God depletes over time, such that what is capable in God has depleted because he has aged? Now, the truth of the matter is that we don't know God. Yes, we don't know God. That's why Boko Haram is important. We don't know God. That's why fear, terror, everything has come. All the curses that were supposed to be descriptive of the hidden war are the plagues that we bear today, because we have not understood how to relate with this new regime. Hallelujah. Amen. I say hallelujah.
Amen.
I say hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, so there was a way God was dealing with Moses. The way he dealt with Moses was a prototype of how God wants to deal with us. And the Bible said that God revealed his ways. Whenever you find the ways of God, you become a strange man. So come with me. Let's take a journey in the spirit. Alright? So we are not going for the acts now. What are we going for? But there's a technology by which we can know the ways. Because you cannot know the ways by your mind. Just as the Bible says that, just as you do not know how bones are formed in the womb of her that is with child, so knoweth thou not the way of the Spirit. Now, you cannot know the way of the Spirit with your mind. You can only know the way of the Spirit by your heart, when it's in alignment to the Lordship of the Holy Ghost. And the way of the Spirit is, and the knowledge of that realm is imparted to your heart when your heart is in alignment with the will of God. See, your heart has more capacity than all your senses. You know, the Bible says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man. Now, that sequence, eyes, ears, and heart, those things were written in the order of depth. That your ears have more depth than your eyes in communication. Your heart has more depth than your ears. Alright? And that which eyes, ears have not seen, that has not occurred to the heart of man, is called a mystery. Because it's beyond your scope. The spirit realm is like that. It's cryptic. is under lock and key. And you must gain entrance into that pavilion by the agency of a being that resides there. And so it's either you get into that realm by a spirit of error, and that realm, that spirit begins to educate you about that realm from his own vista. Your limitations are going to be the very limitations that that spirit has in that realm. Or you come into the realm by the spirit of truth. Then he begins to introduce you into the realm and how to take advantage of the realm from his own vista. And your strength becomes equivalent to the strength of the one who introduced you to the realm. Now, so you need to understand that there are people that work for darkness, that speak for darkness, that also know the spirit realm, because they have understood that there's a limitation with the heart of man, there's a limitation with the mind of man, there's a limitation with the sight and the senses of man. And in order for us to have mastery of this realm, we must go to the realm that murdered it. Because this realm came out of another realm. And if we want to gain mastery of this realm, then we must go to its source point. If you can touch the original carving point, you can open the sea. If you can touch some things, you can hold the sun in place for 48 hours and take a day out of February. Hallelujah. So it was Joshua that spoiled our calendar. He went there and then took a day out of February. Every 4 years, the work of Joshua comes to manifestation. If this realm came out of that realm, we can influence everything here if we can go back there. And so the Holy Spirit is our link to the original carving point. If you don't have him, you don't know him, you don't know how he wields his power, you are a man. Just a mere man. Meanwhile, the Bible said that by a prophet, one prophet, God brought out an entire nation out of captivity. One prophet. That is to show you the capacity of one man when it comes to realize this power of which I speak. By a prophet. You see, you are enough to bring your family out of that captivity. The only problem is that you have no knowledge of your God. By one prophet, he preserved them. Hallelujah. War came. But their war, they did not fight. It was not by the sword that they won. They waged war. And they won victories not by their strength. Because the armies that constituted Israel's military band were not just physical. They were also spirit soldiers that were in that camp. That was what God wanted to show Joshua when he revealed to him the captain of the spiritual side of the army of Israel. And Joshua messed up. He spoke harshly. He was not trained on how to speak in such an occasion. He made a mistake, and because of that, he was sentenced to 7 days of trekking with silence around the wall. Hallelujah. He didn't understand that when they went to fight, they were not the only ones fighting. The Bible, many times you read in the scripture, there were more that died by the hail than by the sword of man. What is that? If you know how to operate these things, mama. You see, I've seen visions before. I've seen visions of the future. And I know it will happen in my lifetime. There were things that Moses discovered. That was why the river parted. That's why it's still possible to raise the dead. You can touch that technology and it will work. But we need to go to the original carving point. And there's no way you can do that in proxy. Hallelujah. He showed his ways. And that's why the Bible says that if any man becomes born again, he has the capacity to see the kingdom. Why? What does that mean? That's the ministry of the spirit of truth. It gives you the capacity to perceive what is going on in the kingdom of God. That's the first thing that you experience when you come alive in the spirit. Your perception will switch on. Then you become conscious of realities that were not conscious of before. Let me tell you, those realities that you become momentarily conscious of are actually heavy things that are more real than anything that your eyes have seen. But you see, mastery in the realm is your ability to be not just conscious of those realities, but to enter into them and begin to participate in them. And the only possibility of doing that is by the ministry of this personality called what? Now, notice that the Bible says that when the Spirit of Truth is come, He will not be talking. It's not talk, talk, talk. He will guide you into it. See, because He will want you to experience those things. Okay. You see, time is a body. You can be climbing from this pulpit to the congregation in a few seconds. And then while you were climbing, an inspiration dropped. You can use that inspiration that dropped. The time equivalent of the inspiration was from here to there. All right? But you use what you contacted to write 3 books. As you try to write it, it's expanding. As you try to write it, it's expanding. As you try to write it, it's increasing. That's why Paul could not successfully tell the story of his encounter in Damascus. The moment he attempts, new things break out of it. Do you know how many times he told that story in the book of Acts of the Apostles? It was always fresh. As if it happened yesterday. Because you cannot kill something that is in the spiritual realm. And a spiritual thing cannot be lost. Can't be lost. By what utterance did Elijah seal the heavens? He spoke a 29 seconds declaration. And it locked the heavens for 3.5 years. You think it's Cambridge School of Linguistics he went to? When the Spirit of Truth is gone. Now, so some of you might ask, okay, this language is different. That's when you understand the language of the Spirit, how spirits talk. You will discover that the way spirits talk is different from the way human beings talk. Meanwhile, there's as much communication in the spirit realm as there is in the natural. But you see, you must know how spirits talk. Especially the talk reality. Oh, Jesus said that it is the spirit that quickeneth. He said the flesh profits nothing. He said the words that I speak. Is it in Igbo? I speak in Igbo. I speak Igede. See, the words I speak, they are what? Spirit and reality. They have the ability to create the things they talk about. They bring they are vessels that contain things. And you have not yet touched the things they contain when you heard. No, it's not just hearing. They have more potency than to create auditory signals. They go beyond the hearing and they furnish things in your spirit. Those words are realities. Human words are vessels that are supposed to contain things. So to you, you talk. That's talking. Jesus can come and say, rise! And something is transmitted through the utterance. It's coming from another realm. Now let me show you something. Because the devil talks to you. Not only God that talks. Why is it that Jesus said the one that is coming is called the Spirit of Truth? Why that approach? Why? Because it's difficult for natural people to access that frequency. Why will he want to make things difficult for us? Maybe that's your question. Come with me. You know, the Bible says now the foundation of the Lord standeth sure. It says, having this seal. Please, those of you that are English students, what is a seal? A stamp. That's 45%. What's a seal? A mark. A seal is something that exists only in the original. It doesn't have duplicate. You know, you can do photocopy for your WAEC result.
A seal only appears how? Why is it so? Because you see, the devil is the greatest counterfeit of all time. He can fake miracles. He can fake signs. He can fake wonders. But if something exists in the original only, it doesn't have what? Duplicate. So it's either you get it or you don't have it. Tell your neighbor, it's either you have it or you are fake. Okay, come with me. Let me show you. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16. If you are getting blessed, say amen.
Amen.
Either you have it or you are fake. I got tired of being a fake or preaching empty theology, aligning scripture. The way I was fake. Hallelujah. I was fake and I knew I was fake. I knew there was something more. We are supposed to be communicating some deeper things and I didn't have it. So I decided to stop preaching. To go and look for that which is not there. Now, Acts of the Apostles, quickly. See, our time is running short already. Now, Fred, stop playing pray and then start again. Pray. Pray. You are not bringing the sound from there. Now, in the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16, verse 16, the Bible says, and it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us. She brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days, and Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out of her that same hour. Hallelujah. Now, let's do come to Bible school for the next 5 minutes. Amen? Oh, you see, me, I'm from Lagos. That's why I have to use this scripture. There's something I want to say. There are many scriptures that can say this, but I use this one because I'm from Lagos. Now, the first thing I want to write on the board is prophet. Then on this side of the divide, I write diviner. Then the first point I write under prophet is prophecy. Then under diviner, I write soothsaying. Are you with me there? And then I write number two here, the spirit of reality. Then I write number two there, the spirit of divination. You get my... be drawing it like that. For those of you that came with notes, draw it like that. I'm going to show you a very long list. Because it's not only the Holy Spirit that talks in that realm. There are some other things that talk there too. Now, should we go further? Are you with me now? Okay. If you are with me, I want us to do an anatomy of what this lady spoke by the spirit of divination. Now, let me explain. If a prophet operating under the anointing of God begins to speak divinely granted utterances, he's prophesying. Is that true? You know, we are Pentecostals, so this is our field. We understand this one. Amen? If we go somewhere else to preach that... they are not Pentecostal. We know how to follow it. But we are at home now. Hallelujah. And so if somebody begins to utter those things, the person is prophesying. The equivalent of prophecy operating from the spirit of divination is called soothsaying. So the closest relative to prophecy in the demonic realm is called what? You are with me? Are you with me?
Yes.
Good. Now let's go back and do an anatomy. I have a lot of reverend gentlemen here. So we are going to analyze that statement. This is the utterance that came from her
through soothsaying. Okay. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Now, I'm with the reverence now. What is wrong with that statement? Now, based on what you have heard, these men are the servants of the Most High God that show us the way of salvation. That utterance is not different from prophecy in content. It's not in content. It's correct. By theology, it's correct. The insight is valid. The outcome of the insight is true. Oh, you don't understand that those white garment prophets by the riverside in Lagos, the things they say is true. You know why he has to go and communicate as the spirit of reality? Because soothsaying is also true. So he takes his communication into the source point where it cannot be false. It is only when you are operating by the spirit of reality that you can go beyond the hearing of the ears and the seeing of the eyes. That is when you touch the seal that only exists how? In the origin. So we have prophets in Lagos. You cannot detect their falsehood by what they say.
No, sir.
They say it right. No matter how many theological coordinates you put in place to discern the error, it passes the test. Lagos, see, there is problem in Lagos. Hey, Alabale doko baskima. We need to know God. There are genuine believers under the yoke of divination crying out in the city of Lagos just because we do not understand the way the spirit of reality bears his substance. We must step up higher today. We must step up higher as a generation so that everyone operating by a spirit that is not God can be cut off. You need to see the way they patronize those people. What they say is correct. We can't doubt it. The insight was valid. But the source is the only thing that is wrong. And it will take a man that knows the realm of reality to be able to identify it. If you are not operating from that pedestal, you will be beguiled yourself. And you will bow down yourself to a God that Paul will call devil. That's where the devil is now. That's where the devil is now. And so this kind of Christianity we have been doing for many years, we will not survive this season. There is an attack on our generation. There's an attack on the body of Christ. Many people that are valiant have been made slaves. Slaves to the spirit of divination. Some of you watch it on satellite and you invite the spirit of divination into your home. That's why there's chaos. There's no purity in the airwaves that surrounds your environment. You have picked things from many places just because your spirit is weak. Does not understand reality. The Bible says that it was not instantly that Paul was able to decode the source. After what? It's cryptic. That's how the realm is. There are many false things that masquerade in that realm. And that's why it must be held up in the original. When he, the spirit of truth, is come. The Bible says after many days, Paul hearing the same thing, he became grieved. That was the testimony of the spirit of truth. There was nothing wrong with what he said. And when Paul was grieved, Paul did not speak to her. Paul spoke to him. It is when you are trained by the spirit of reality, you can now begin to speak to spirits. People were going for a wedding, and then a wind blew. It carried demons. I didn't know before. It's good to walk with the Holy Ghost. Demons came to, and I can show you from the Bible. It is difficult to discern those demons, those type that fly with the wind. I can show you from the Bible. The Bible says that in the house of Job, when those sons of Job, they were in the tent, there was a wind. God opened my eyes to that scripture. Some demons came on the wind. They wanted to scatter that wedding because the grandmother of the lady marrying had dedicated her to an altar, and the covenant was that she should never marry. And now they did everything without her knowledge and came to the village. Say, hey, you want to marry? She came with her host of witches through the wind. A normal human being will say it's about to rain, but a man that knows what is happening, he turns his back and he says, you cannot enter this door. He was grieved in the spirit and he spoke to the spirit. The wind came and stood. Have you seen wind standing? And there was no entry point because a man turned his back and said, just like my back is a wall, there's no entrance. That was the first day you will notice that wind doesn't have an entry point. Wind that can pierce through this altar. He went back. Wind goes back. He was grieved in the spirit. What do you know by the spirit? The Bible says by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, and that the things that are seen were not made by things that do appear. So his ministry is to guide, is to show us how to navigate in that sphere, in that realm. That is how we know true power. I just hope that you have not bowed down to somebody with the spirit of divination before. Some of those channels you watch on that free channel, is what is complicating your life. The spirit realm can defile much more than liquid. Some of those kind of things can happen to you, and then you are no longer growing. You pray, but you have begged. It's defiled. After many days, he was grieved. That's how he speaks. He wants you to know how he feels. He furnishes his feeling about the matter, and then he causes you to become his foot soldier, to rise and contend for his pathway. And if you don't get yourself fused into him like hand and glove, he will have no battle axe to use to yank the power of darkness. That's why the devil prospers, because there's no one that understands his grief anymore. Most of his speakings are in signs and signals. He speaks only little in words, but much with signs. You will hear them in scripture and he was grieved. You will hear in scripture and they were forbidden of the Holy Spirit and they went another way. You will notice that those utterances, those communications did not come in words. Came in signs. It came with spirit language. Because even the voice of God and what God means needs to be decoded. That's why you have dreams that you cannot understand. Because the technology by which that communication was factored in is higher than your thought realm. He is the navigator. For he guides us into all truth. He will guide you into it. And when you experience it, you know. If you don't know, it means you have not experienced. Just like you know you are putting on shirt, you are putting on a shoe. You know. When you experience it, it is a knowing of revelation. The knowing of experience. You just know. That was how that grief was furnished. It was a spirit that was bearing testimony that this thing that you are touching is not from my realm. That is reality. Those days when I preach and I feel so something strong on my hand, for 5 years I did not understand it was a healing anointing. 5 years. Because the knowledge that gives you education about what is going on in that realm is not mental knowledge. Until one day I was preaching, and when I watched Benny Hinn preach, I was fasting and watching Benny Hinn. And then Benny Hinn said, "Do you want power?" I said, "Yeah, I want power." He said, "Stretch your hand, touch this television." Maybe that time Benny Hinn was sleeping in the United States, but something was captured in the tape. Because walls are vessels that are containers, they carry things. And once those words were spoken, those words are kept. The content that is traveling with. I was hearing words, but something else was happening. Say, touch the TV, and I touched it. And I felt like a cement bag upon my chest. It was there for 30 minutes, but I didn't know what I was feeling. It took, like, for the one on my hand, it took 5 years. Went to preach in Methodist Church. As I was preaching, I told God, I said, "God, I've waited for you to anoint me to heal you for long. I won't wait again." That's what I said. Well, I won't wait again. As I was preaching, I felt that thing on my hand. This is what I felt when Benny Hinn was ministering to me. "Let me pray for the sick today." And then the devil said, "What if nobody is healed?" I said, "Okay, when they are not healed, at the end of the service, we'll know what to do about it. But let's..." Let's start now. That was how I began to rebuke sicknesses. The first person that stood up was a cripple. A crippled woman stood up. Now, she did not know how she stood up, but she was sitting. Then she saw herself. It took time before she knew that the leg was working. Then she moved it. She moved it. Hey, the meeting scattered. You know, that day people touched my garment and got healed. That day, 37 women were healed that day. Meanwhile, I was afraid on the pulpit. That was when I knew that that which was on my hand for 5 years was the reality of healing. But it could not benefit me or people because I did not know. Because when he communicates, he speaks reality. It will take you to decode it. Sometimes he brings you into the experience of it. You will mistakenly stumble into it before you know. Sometimes he will tell you what it is. Except you receive education from that realm, you are a normal man. That was how healing began. After 10 years of working in it, a time came and I discovered I had this special ability to heal deaf people. That one was my experience. I pray for the sick in the crowd. Alright? Things can get healed, but the number of deaf people is always more. Then I had faith, more faith for deaf people. Hallelujah. Amen. All these things are education in the realm. They were taking me to the airport in Malawi to fly. And the guy that was taking me in and said, "Let us see my father-in-law." Came into the house. The man was deaf in one ear. He had been deaf like this since he was a boy. I was touching the ear and telling him, "Jesus can open this ear." In 5 minutes, the ear started hearing. No prayer. Jesus can what? Poop. The man began. He said, "Okay, now pastor, just go to my room, sleep on it. The bed for 5 minutes so that I can continue." I say, we are late, don't worry. 70-year-old man, he began to hear. Have you seen an old man cry before? Mama, there are few things that can make an old man. But that thing was on the hand for 5 years. It was not useful. Just like many of you have been receiving stirrings, you feel something moving on your head when the presence of God. Until you find out what it is, you never know what is operating.
That's how reality is. It doesn't come, it guides you into it.
And then you find out what it is at the end of the day. Your skill, your power, your ability is dependent on your insight to interpret those movements of God. You need to understand God is living, and so in your heart he will move. Your ability to discern his movements is your extent of power. The voice of God, the mind of God, is always trapped in the move of God. It's when he moves that you know his mind, by discernment of spirit. Now God calls us, because this is not a day of a big preacher, it's a day of a mighty generation. The least among us must become as strong as David. That is our call. That is what he wants to make out of this generation. And so it's not just enough if Reverend Joe is operating in the dimension. Everybody that he touches must be brought into that dimension that God has brought him. Do you understand that? So that the time will come when the terrorists will be more afraid than they make us afraid. Ran away from family witches for 11 years. Then I touched God. Then I found out when I touched God that the things I was afraid of were more afraid of me. The battle changed. The captives were released. Death stopped. Because by a prophet, the Lord brought the children of Israel out. For how long will you be looking for a deliverer? For how long? 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 Yes, we know that your grandfather erected an altar. And so everybody is suffering because they have to give dividends to the altar. That is as long as there is nobody that understands reality. Because when reality comes, first of all, you deliver yourself. And then secondly, if when you grow in the realm, you can influence the family through your own spiritual contact. Because by a God will not change his way. He said, by a prophet, he brought the children of Israel out of what? It means if there's oppression in your family, there is no prophet. Why sit we still until we die? I have so much to say, but we have to stop. I pray we'll be able to say more tomorrow. Then I will show you that nothing that is in the spirit realm is lost. The anointing upon Elijah, many aeons later, it was brought upon John the Baptist, because that anointing was never lost. It was a reality. And the Spirit of God could transport it into another generation. That's why Malachi said, behold, I send Elijah. He didn't say, I will send the anointing of Elijah. He said, I will send what? Why did that anointing gain personality? I will explain it tomorrow. How come he said, I will send Elijah? Behold, I send Idahosa. So he can send. Behold, I send what? Because it's never lost. It's never lost. You see, you are distracted, and this is the time not to be distracted. You are looking at a bat. God will help you. God will help you. God will help you. You see, I have seen things, bro. I've seen people that attempted to kill me. I've seen it. I've seen the way. I've seen some that came physically. I speak in parables. And when death came, he fought for 11 years and he knew he would not succeed. He turned back. I've seen death turn back before. The things that are pursuing you around, I think it's time we need to. I've seen the devil fight and he knew he won't win and he turned back. You can rise today and say, I will be the prophet of my family. No more running from pillar to post. Go back home, dust your prayer mat and say, word without end.
shate behite. Brandes kofada balateba. Maras avate bonsh avata malatetate. Inklates kufatabala. Rumba subatame. The least among us must become as strong as David. Something will come out of heaven today. I want you to lift up a prayer for your family right now. You are the prophet of that family. You are the voice of that family. You will bring that family out of quagmire. You will bring those people out of the clutches, the hold of darkness. Are you the one who is to come? Or should we expect another? Arise, arise, arise. We don't have much time. The heritage of God is being lost in our land. The voice of the soothsayers must be stopped. The utterances of darkness must be cast off. Arise and arise. Let the enemies of God be scattered. Your life.
come tonight. God shall make you a wholesome land. You shall have plenty of seed. Cobra shatababola. Ento bala bala bala. Ikatebaskanda baboria. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return, shall come with singing unto Zion. An everlasting joy shall be upon your head. They shall proclaim gladness and joy. Sorrow and mourning shall flee away.
Revealing to me that there are some people that have served him faithfully over the years. He wants to come for them now. He wants to come for them. Many things will drop from heaven. God comes to promote people that have been standing with him over the years. There are so many people like that here. He has come to promote them, to lift them up, to encourage them. To encourage them. You see, there's fire in this hall. There's fire moving. This fire is moving like a human being. It's moving like a human being. There's a fire. It's moving like a human being. It's moving. It's moving. It's moving. It's a spirit of fire. The spirit of fire is moving. It's moving. It's moving everywhere in this hall. Fire. Open the name of God. It's fire. Fire is moving everywhere. It's fire moving around. Moving around so strong. In Jesus' name. Listen. Now that, oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Now. I'm seeing. Amen. Amen. I'm seeing a lady in our midst. For a long time, the Lord has been trying to promote you in your intercessory ministry by putting upon you the ability to see and hear the grace. And you have been, I don't know why you have not been able to touch it. But you see, that anointing will come upon you. It will give you the ability to see and hear clearly in the realm of the spirit. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, that sister in this hall that you are blessing, that you are uplifting, that you are impacting, Father, let your right hand descend upon her. Let your right hand, oh my God, oh my God, it's coming. It's coming stronger. It's coming stronger, stronger. It's coming stronger. Oh Lord, let your right hand descend upon that lady. Let your right hand descend upon her. Let your right hand descend upon her. Now bring that lady. Bring that lady. Right now, a strange tongue will come out of your mouth. A strange tongue. I'm seeing it like a fire. It will come on you and you'll begin to utter strange things. Holy Ghost in this hall, from my left hand side to my right hand side, let this cloven tongue of fire descend upon your people. This aha is coming. It will come strong. It will come. Yes. 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 Yes.
Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Impartable. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Now, stretch your right hand. Just do like this. Your right hand. Just your right hand. God is going to put a blessing. He's going to put a blessing upon your hand. Many people have been faithful for a long time without supervision. He wants to put something upon. Oh my God. 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 Yes, Lord. Oh my God. 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 Put something upon that hand. Oh, I'm seeing somebody that used to pray for the sick before. Used to go on evangelism and pray for the sick. And then you stopped praying for the sick. You stopped going out for evangelism. And then the anointing to heal now receded. Father, let that anointing be restored. Let it be restored. Let it be restored. Let it be restored upon that life. Let it be restored. Let that powerful fiery evangelist receive an impartation from, oh my God, an impartation from your spirit right now. Right now, Lord. Yes, it's coming stronger upon that life. Stronger, stronger. I want to see that evangelist. I want to see that evangelist. It's coming stronger. Yes. Yes. Bring that evangelist out. There is much that God has for that life. Much. Much that God has. Receive double, receive double, 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 double in the name of Jesus. Double. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, let there be a release of grace. A release, a release, a release. Aha. With your right hand up, let us pray congregational prayer. Father, it is written that whatsoever, oh my God, they lay their hands upon to do, it shall prosper. Someone that has been expecting an employment. You have done all you know how to do. You have tried and tried. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I hand over that employment to your son, to your daughter tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ. Whatsoever he layeth his hands upon to do, it shall prosper. Aha. Now, as we were talking, some people began to feel some vibration upon your tummy. If you are one of them, lift that hand high. Vibration on your tummy. God is touching your family right now. So put that hand, that right hand on your stomach. For those of you that felt vibration on your stomach, put your right hand on your stomach. He's working on your family. Doing some things in your family. He's trying to effect a deliverance in your family. Right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ,
stretch forth your hand over those families, oh God, that you have begun to deliver. Let your power be released. Let your swap at the vocal. Yes, yes, yes. I bring that family out of the manipulation of the enemy. I bring that family out. I command that womb open in the name of Jesus Christ.
The burden and bondage of late marriage, I break it, I break it, I break it, I break it in the name of Jesus Christ, and I release you into your destiny.